News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Reticent Rob Linton is on the buttons. And he's nodding because he'd rather nod than talk. He'd be good as a TV guy because he'll just nod and smile and not actually say anything. We are here to take your calls at the numbers you just heard. We're going to talk about computers this week. Before we do, however, I have two important thank yous to send out. One is
You're welcome.
Our good friends at Bill Gray's Restaurant for providing the world's greatest computer show with the world's greatest cheeseburger.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Always delicious. Ooh. And I want to thank our resident fix-it guy, Dave Enright, for actually removing, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, Sircam virus from one of the machines in the WHAM studios so that I could get online. Before we get to the phone, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be amused by that. Before we get to the phones, we're going to do the news, and we're going to start with Steve.
Yes, there's a big photography summit in Vail, Colorado last week. In fact, we're probably still going on a little bit here. It's part of the very long-running Photography at the Summit workshop, and for the last 2 years, they've been doing a digital summit because the quality of digital cameras is getting so much better.
That figures.
What's actually interesting is that this year Apple, Nikon, and Epson are sponsoring the summit, and in past years Kodak has been one of the biggest sponsors. And in the past, Kodak has sent two full film processing labs with 12 employees to process the hundreds and hundreds of rolls of film that these guys create over the weekend. And these are some of the biggest photographers in the world. Well, they're not doing that anymore because they've gone digital,
right?
And so now, for 1/100th of the expense that Kodak went through to send all these digital processors, and the time it takes to process film, even 1 hour photos are too long in breaking news,
right?
All this digital stuff is just so amazing. And what's interesting is that even Kodak themselves, in a lot of their very high-end digital cameras, are using Nikon lenses and putting the Kodak digital body on the back of it. So Nikon has been a long driving force at the high end of the market, and now we're starting to see 6-megapixel cameras for under $1,000, and those used to be the $20,000 models.
6-megapixel camera.
Right. You can get a 3-megapixel camera now for almost $200.
Yeah.
And the larger your megapixels, the larger you can print it. So if you want to print 8x10s or 9x12s, you can.
Or, roadside sign.
Right. But the
billboard.
One of the big things to look at when you're doing cameras is that if you're going to do a web shot, don't take it at 6 megapixels.
Yeah, exactly. Because 640 by 480 is more than you want to put up
it's
on the web.
It's probably even bigger. Yeah.
Right. Dave, what's going on in the virus world? Speaking of Sircam over
well,
here.
Well, besides Sircam, which was on the computer that you're using that we got rid of. Out of California, some video game players got a nasty surprise this week when they downloaded some software from a popular on-site gaming site. They had Nadima, whatever you want to call them. They're just a big pain in the butt.
Nadima sounds like a skin disease. I don't know why. Go ahead.
Well, edema is a blood disease.
Right.
Oh, I'm joking. No, just like, we keep saying it, folks, it's the summertime. A lot of these folks with no lives, again, we keep repeating it, but it's been steady business for me. I mean, literally.
You should have seen Dave sitting here at this machine. He wasn't even referring to anything. He's done so many Sircams. He just sat down and he went, oh, yeah, and you got to get rid of this file. You got to rename this file. You got to change this. You got to do that. You got to do the other. Then he goes out and prints out the directions, and he goes through and goes, oh, yeah, I did that. When it becomes second nature to do one of these things, you've done too many.
Yeah, really. And it's gotten to the point, too, like even right now with the Klez. Klez is wreaking the biggest harm. If you go to McAfee's website, you can see literally a world map or by this U.S. and by the states and see how bad people are still getting infected.
Yep, because they're just not updating the software. On the Microsoft side, Microsoft has an ambitious new security effort they are calling Palladium. This would allow you to create, actually, Microsoft creates a virtual vault where customers would conduct electronic transactions and store their sensitive private financial data. This would require consumers to buy new computers and other devices, which are equipped with the ultra-secure computer chips from Intel and AMD, which are already involved in the product, and from other companies. The problem is that we're already hearing from a bunch of people that this has stirred up yet another storm. Microsoft has kind of roused the ire of the privacy library with that proposal. It's already being described as Big Brother-ish. Basically, what they're saying is that they don't really want Microsoft to be the people who have control of their private and financial information. So we'll see where this heads. We'll continue to follow it as it goes along. This also relates to our poll for the week. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Morals, values, ethics, and principles. It's Dr. Laura, 9 till 11 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. When news breaks out, we break in.
5 people dead, more than 40 hurt after a bus careened off the freeway near Victor.
First, fast, accurate.
You try to stop it somehow, but you lose control completely.
Just unbelievable.
We have, I think, at least 5 different fire companies involved.
When news breaks out, we break in.
Officials are now discounting the possibility the crash, which killed 5 people, was due to any kind of a medical problem with the driver.
When news breaks out, we break in. News Radio 1180, WHAM.
A vacation usually sounds like this. At Carlisle Mitsubishi at Fairport, a vacation sounds like this.
Woohoo! I'm driving free for a full year!
No joke. Carlisle Mitsubishi at Fairport is giving you a year-long vacation free from car payments. Free of interest. For 12 full months, all you do is go. You take your pick of any new 2002 Carlisle Mitsubishi Lancer, Mirage, Galant, Eclipse, Diamante, Montero, or Montero Sport. And without paying one red cent, you drive it away. F-R-E-E for a whole year. Just imagine it. Instead of making car payments, you could take a trip.
Invest your cash.
Improve your house. Whatever. For an entire year, you get to do whatever you want with your car payment money. Except make a car payment. Or if you prefer, Carlisle Mitsubishi can offer you 0% for 60 months on select 2002s. Or how about $2,000 rebates?
Yeah, I said rebates.
On an import. With 3 of the most phenomenal money-saving options ever available on imports, it's no wonder they call Carlisle Mitsubishi of Fairport the dealer who can. Call them today at 586-8080. Online at CarlisleAuto.com. Or check them out in person in Fairport, 1177 Fairport Road. Hurry, 000 ends June 30th.
Want a better job? Easy. Just open up the classified section or go online. Look at all those jobs. Hundreds of jobs. You don't like the jobs you qualify for? And you don't qualify for the jobs you like? Well, then maybe you need to stop dreaming and start doing something about it. Come to Element K Business School and we'll get you ready for some of the most in-demand jobs there are. IT systems administrator, computer programmer, web designer, office manager, executive secretary, bookkeeper, customer service representative. We'll help with one-on-one mentoring and even job placement assistance when you're finished with your education. And if money's a problem, Element K can also help with the financing. Call Element K Business School for more information. Call 240-7400 today or visit elementkcenter.com for the full story. Element K Business School. Real education. Real opportunities.
One quarter, two quarters, it's easy to throw away 50 cents. But what if you could use that 50 cents to buy some peace of mind for your family? You can by calling Matrix Direct Insurance Services. A 35-year-old man can get a quarter of $1 million term life coverage for less than 50 cents a day. A 42-year-old can get a $250,000 coverage for only 60 cents a day. Rates guaranteed 10 years. Call Matrix Direct now for some of the best rates in years from Protective Life Insurance Company, a respected insurer who's protected American families since 1907. The call is free, the quote is free, and you could save 50% or more on quality term life insurance. Call Matrix Direct now. 1-800-951-TERM. 1-800-951-TERM. T-E-R-M. Protective value term policy at select preferred rate subject to underwriting. Term life insurance form TL06. Premiums increase after 10 years. Renewable to age 96. Two-year contestable period. Ron Harris license agent. Not available in some states.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Alleman K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
We are Soundbites, and I am Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Rob Linton is on the buttons. And you know, I was just thinking, when he says we're the longest-running radio show,
yep,
we may be the longest-running computer show. I don't think anybody's been on the air longer than we have. Radio, television,
as far
anywhere.
As computers, no.
Cool.
But, you know,
computers almost didn't exist.
Right. We're not quite Doc and Katie, but,
right,
you know, we've been on for...
Well, give us another 30 years. We'll be there.
Oh, my God.
You know, the other thing, too, though, is...
That's the most frightening thought I have ever had.
Wheeling us in our walkers and our wheelchairs.
We better get to the phones now. Our first... Oh, my golly.
That could be an ugly picture.
I don't even want that in my head anymore. Help me. Let's talk to Ron from Rochester. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Yeah, good afternoon.
How are you?
As long as you're staying here for a long time. Anyway, I got two questions here. One, a while back you said there was a way to take the mouse and click something on the taskbar to get rid of unnecessary files. I got a 200 megahertz, 32 mega RAM packer compact. It's awful slow, and I just think it's getting clogged up with unnecessary files. Is there a way to just clean it up?
Well, you can go into the Windows Explorer. And under the Windows folder, there's a folder called temp. Anything in there you can get rid of.
Well, the specific thing you're remembering is that in the system tray, in the bottom right corner of the window near the clock, is a bunch of icons for running programs.
Right.
If you right-click on those icons, you will typically get a menu, and if you don't use that program, you can tell it to quit, and thereby free up some system resources and free up some processing.
And if you want to turn, totally turn them off, what you have to do is go to the Start button, click on Run, type msconfig. And the last tab over on the upper right-hand side there is a startup. And you'll see a bunch of check marks near various programs that are being loaded. So Okay. Say yours is being loaded RealPlayer. You don't want that to load. You just uncheck it.
And a lot of times in those program preferences, you click from that taskbar, you can go into preferences and say, don't start up until I want you to.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So those are the kind of things. But it depends on where it's slow. If it's slow in loading files, maybe it's time to do a defrag on your hard drive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've done a defrag and everything. It's just getting... It's a 3.5 gig hard drive, and it just seems like it's just getting clogged up with a lot of stuff.
3.5 gig is minimal.
The other thing is, on your internet, if you're using Internet Explorer, if you go under Tools, Internet Options, delete your temporary internet files once in a while.
Okay.
Okay.
My other question is, I heard that Microsoft was not going to honor Windows 98 second edition anymore. I just upgraded, and I need to upgrade the other three computers to Windows 98.
98 second edition is still going to be around for at least another 2 years.
The issue is that they're not going to be officially supporting it anymore. So if you call them with a question, they won't be able to answer it.
So you won't be able to buy any software for it?
Windows itself is already getting harder to find because they stopped making it, but there are still vendors that have it.
Superstores.
Right. The program developers are still going to be writing for Windows 98 because they know there's tens of millions of users of it.
And, you know, like most big companies, I mean, to sit there now with all these companies doing cutbacks and everything else, to sit there, you know, for Microsoft to be so bold to come in and say, well, you got to change your operating system, which means you got to change your equipment. A lot of companies are saying, wrong, it's not broke, I'm not going to fix it.
You may also find some of the more sophisticated and more powerful programs are going to start requiring XP as the latest generation of OS. And when the program you want to buy doesn't work on the OS you have, that's when you decide to upgrade.
So is it worth upgrading to 98, or should I just go with something
higher? Well, what are you running right now?
Right now I'm running Windows 95.
On what class computer?
Yeah.
Well, it's the 32 mega RAM, and it's 200 megahertz.
No. And I wouldn't go up anywhere from there. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that the machine you've got is just not going to handle the newer operating systems. It'll run. If you put another 32 mega RAM in, it'll run Linux. Great, but it's not going to be the new Windows.
What we basically say for XP is 1,000 megahertz. You know, 1,000 gigabytes of RAM and 1,000 gigabytes of hard drive.
Okay, that may be a little much, but certainly 800 megahertz and 256 megahertz.
Well, the computer won't support that, so I'm going to look at a new machine.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Okey-doke, thanks. Our next caller is Doug from Rochester. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
I got two questions. Do you know of any mouse that would, any virus that would just kill the mouse on a machine, or do you think I may have a hardware problem?
Most likely, you can try, uninstalling the mouse, deleting it out of the device manager, reboot the machine, see if it finds it. If it doesn't detect it, then, it might be
It could be a bad mouse. It could be a bad mouse port, but it's more likely the mouse.
Yeah.
Unless this happened during a lightning storm.
The computer gets left on a lot, so it might have happened, too.
Yep.
So, yeah. Can I have one other question?
Yeah.
Sure. I got a Linksys router and wireless connection. My hardware connection to the router worked great.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't seem to get the wireless to work at all.
Well, tell you what, when you do figure that out,
call
let
you.
Me know.
Yeah, give us a call.
There's a couple of different settings you have to set up for creating a wireless network. There's what's called ad hoc, which means that all the computers just look for a network. If they find one, they use it.
Right.
Or there's the infrastructure where you manually set each computer, and starting with the base station, to use this specific channel, this specific address, this specific router, and all the specificities.
What I think he's talking about, though, and I'm running into the same problem, I've got maybe a span of 30 feet from where my router is to where I want to use the laptop, and the signal drops right off to poor.
Right.
And there's only a couple.
But the problem is most
the
of the 802.11b stuff runs in the same band as most of the the wireless phones and a whole bunch of other things. So if those are running, well, you're on your own now.
You also have to look at what the wall construction is.
Yeah, pipes and everything else.
We're finding also in older houses where they used to put up chicken wire on underneath the plaster.
Right.
Well, now you have a giant Faraday cage that blocks radio signals.
Right, and also, how close are you to any sort of high power lines? How close are you to cell phone towers? Yeah. There's all kinds of things for 802.11b.
One of the
802.11a, which is like 54 megabits and runs in the 5 gigahertz range, is much less susceptible to all of that.
But it's a much shorter distance. That's only 50 feet. It's the 802.11g we all want, which is really fast, real high frequency, and really long.
Yep.
The nice thing with the Linksys
base, get a bigger cable.
Well, the nice thing,
there you go.
One of the nice things with the Linksys base station is it has two independently pointable antennas. So I've done a lot by just positioning and re-aiming the antenna.
Yeah, but my wife doesn't want to stand in the middle of the room holding it. Why?
Right. It's the old rabbit ear. We used to do that with our televisions. Now we're doing it with our computers.
Honey, turn a little more to the left.
Right.
Good. Stand there for the next 3 hours while I serve the net.
Wrong.
Okay, thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Yes, I have a peer-to-peer with SE.
Right.
Now, I got a network question. When I boot the first PC, I see the entire network in the station. The second PC is fine. But if I reverse the order and turn the first PC on, it's fine. But the second PC, I always get the flashlight.
There's a couple of issues in peer-to-peer networking relating to which machine is creating the work group, establishing the network.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By default, the default is that every machine tries to be its own domain controller, basically.
Right. Okay.
And so whichever one you turn on first becomes the controller to establish the domain for the rest of the network.
Okay.
So you should usually pick one machine to be always on first.
Okay.
The place that you set that is in your network properties, in the file and printer sharing properties. Whether your master browser is either enabled, disabled, or automatic. The best thing to do is set one machine enabled and always turn that one on first and set all the rest of them to disabled.
And, in fact, that may be the way your machine is set up now.
Without
the second one will not become the master browser, and therefore you get the behavior you see.
Okay. All right.
Okey-doke.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's longest and greatest running computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Shepherd Ford has been keeping their promises for over 50 years. We offer more than just a lot packed with new and used cars and trucks. Shepherd Ford can offer outstanding rebates and those unbeatable prices you are looking for. But most importantly, Shepherd Ford is known for our personalized attention. We take care of our customers. So when you're ready for great service and great prices, you're ready for Shepherd Ford. Shepherd Ford, 50 years of selling Fords, 50 years of doing it right. Routes 5 and 20 in Canandaigua.
Dick Clark here for Nuvim. That's N-U-V-I-M, the revolutionary new dietary supplement. You know, I drink my Nuvim every day to help build my immune system, support muscle flexibility, and promote sturdy joints. Now, I asked you to tell me why you like Nuvim, and here's what I heard.
Hi, Dick. Tony Gennaro. I'm a physician in New Jersey. I've been using Nuvim for about 6 months. I have more energy.
I just feel more restful and comfortable.
My favorite flavor is strawberry vanilla. Love strawberry vanilla.
I'm a first-time mom at age 42, and I drink Nuvim because, boy, do I need the energy.
My skin is better. My hair is better.
Call 1-866-90-NUVIM. Tell us what Nuvim has done for you. If we use your comments, you could win a 45-day supply of Nuvim. In the meantime, look for Nuvim in the refrigerated juice section of supermarkets and convenience stores. Be healthy and energetic. Drink Nuvim. You'll love how you feel.
I got one.
It's huge.
Hold on, man. Reel it in. Don't jerk it.
The line's gonna snap.
I can see it.
What kind of fish is it?
That's no fish.
The big taste of jumbo shrimp is back at Red Lobster. Whoa. Mix and match any two mouthwatering flavors. Crunch fried, crispy coconut, or savory scampi. 12 jumbo shrimp for just $12.99.
Quick, put on your...
Safety strap.
Jumbo shrimp are here for a limited time. Red Lobster. Go overboard.
We share the same hopes, the same dreams. We face the same challenges. That's why when it comes to helping you protect all you work for, nobody does it better than your neighborhood State Farm agent.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180, WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, right here. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Reticent Rob Linton is on the buttons. You'll hear him during news a little later. He can't hide forever. And we're taking your calls at the number you just heard. Our next caller, there are lines open and operator is standing by. So give us a call at those numbers, 222-1180-295. Wait,
no.
222-1180 if you're in the 585 area code. If you're in need the 800 number, it's 295-1180. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's star 1180. So all those of you who are hearing us, yeah, we got some guy in the guest book who said he can hear us in California.
Whoa, isn't Skip good?
That's a good Skip. So if you want to call us, it's that 800-295-1180. Give us a call and just
that'd
tell us
that'd be cool
listening.
To get one from California.
That's a, just give us a call and tell us you're calling. We should probably have a contest for who calls
farthest.
From the farthest.
Yeah.
But our next caller, probably not the farthest call we've ever had, is not Brain, it's Brian. From Fairport. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I have a Logitech laser or optical mouse. Whether I plug it into the serial port with the adapter or straight into the USB, the mouse arrow, it'll be on one side of the screen and it'll just cruise over to the other side. And I don't understand whether I installed the software that came with it or not. It just seems to skip around.
Sounds like the optical reader inside the mouse is defective.
Oh, are you running, what operating system are you running?
98 SE.
Okay. There's a couple of things. I had the same problem at home and eventually ended up changing the mouse. Now I'm starting to have the same problem at work. Is Are you running this directly connected, or are you going through some sort of switch box?
No, I'm going right to USB.
Okay, then you have one of two problems. One is that your USB drivers are not up to date.
Okay.
And the second is that you've got some kind of whacked out kink in the cable. And the third, of course, is that, in fact, you have a defective or damaged mouse. The problem with optical mice is that they're very susceptible to static electricity.
Well, it's my second mouse, and the first one did it also.
Yeah.
I don't think it was defective.
Well, you might want to go up to the Microsoft website, and there is a USB update.
Okay.
And even if you're running second edition, you still need to get the USB update.
And it doesn't show up when you go to the update Windows site.
Right. You have to download that one by hand. God forbid the updates are in the update site. Yeah.
Yeah, it's real annoying trying to play Quake, and all of a sudden you're spinning towards the ceiling.
Yeah, right.
what surface are you mousing on?
I don't know how to describe it. It's a pretty smooth mouse pad. It's not like a foamy one.
Oh, is there a design or anything on it?
Yeah, it's a lion.
I've had trouble with the Apple optical mouse, actually on an Apple mouse pad that had the word Apple on it,
right.
And where it would confuse the angles of the letters as the mouse being moved in a different direction.
That's a good point.
So that's a good point.
Try a different surface.
Okay.
There you go. Let us know if that works.
I bet you that's it. All right, I will. Thanks,
after how many hours have you spent banging your head on
there? Well, see, all you need is a mouse pad with no... And then where are you going to find a mouse pad with nothing on it?
Yeah.
Just put a piece of paper down.
Well, the thing with the optical mice is you're not supposed to need a pad because the rollers aren't rolling on anything. The little camera sees your surface go by.
Right.
But you have to have enough of a distinction in the surface for it to be able to see.
Well, my problem is, of course, if I don't put down a mouse pad, I wouldn't have a clear space to run my mouse.
Well, just put it on the desktop without a mouse pad and run it around there.
You gotta
give it a try.
You got to get one of those IR ones that puts on the top of your head and you just move your head around.
I had one of those on my Mac. Yeah, I did.
Turn around and zap your wife. I appreciate
the call. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester. Welcome, Larry. What's your question?
Hi. I got a computer that won't talk to a printer. I had a large program.
What did it say to tick it off?
Pardon?
What did it say to it to tick it off?
I have no idea. It had a large program on there, and we took everything off the hard drive, and then we reprogrammed it with all the disks and everything. But it won't, for some reason or other, the computer won't tell the when we, press print to send it to the printer, it won't send it to the printer.
You've double-checked the cables?
Cables, yes.
Yeah, what model printer and how is it connected to the computer?
Geez, I don't have all the information. It's a Dell computer, and it came with their printer, the package that you buy with everything together.
And everything is connected tightly.
Everything is connected good.
If you run a test on the printer, that works.
Yes.
Some printers have their own test page built into the printer itself that doesn't do anything to the computer. So that just verifies.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that the printer, that means the mechanism works.
Yeah. Right. And then in the computer, you can go to your printer properties and try a test page.
Uh-huh.
And then that bypasses any application and is just a straight operating system call.
And have you gone up to the website for that particular printer and seen if there's any updates for that printer?
I'm not sure if we've done that yet.
You might want to definitely do that.
So the web page for the printer.
Yeah, because see, what can happen is Windows uses a generic driver so that, all programs can use it.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you've installed other software, certain DLLs might have gotten updated that are, somewhat tied to the printer and other functions, but now the printer that used to work isn't because, it's got to call particular files that have been changed. So I would recommend going up to the website, looking for that particular printer and the version of Windows that you're running and download any updates and update it.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, thanks, Larry. Our next caller is George down in Shortsville. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. I have a startup problem with Windows 98 second edition.
Yep.
After all the programs, I guess we'll say load, I end up with a screen that looks like the Internet Explorer box.
Yep.
It says C/program in it. I had that one other time, and I used the MS config and adjusted some of those, took some of those programs out, and it disappeared. It has showed up again, and I can't seem to get rid of it.
What antivirus program are you running?
Norton. and it's current?
Because there are several viruses that attach themselves to your internet homepage, so you always download it again if you happen to have deleted it last time.
Okay.
And you've done a full scan?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, could you, when you see this thing that says C:\Program in it,
right?
You say it's an Internet Explorer window?
Well, it looks like it, yeah. It has the forward back buttons, you know, the file folder up, cut, copy, paste.
That could just be an Explorer window that has all the extra addresses, address bars
turned on.
Right.
The problem is Microsoft has made the two fairly indistinguishable, one from the other.
I mean, I looked in the startup folder, too, and that's empty.
All right, and the title says C:\Program.
What's
in the box?
It says address in the box.
Right.
There's an open folder in C:\Program.
Right. And then in the window itself, what's there? What icons?
All the files or the icons that are in there.
So this thing is just opening, and what you wanted to do is not open anymore.
Exactly. I mean, it's just an inconvenience. Well,
it doesn't seem to do anything. It's a standard desktop window that's opening up for you by itself.
Have you checked in your startup group?
Yes. Yeah. That was empty.
The trick that Nick mentioned a few weeks ago, close the window so you have just a desktop displayed,
okay,
and then hit F5, which is supposed to refresh and save your current settings.
Okay.
Because Microsoft desktop is supposed to remember the folders you had open the last time to open them again for you this time. That preference sometimes gets screwed up, so it opens what it wants to when it wants to.
Right. And all you can do is continue to try to teach it to do what you want.
Okay.
I wish I had a better answer for that, but that's the way the program works.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Oh, another thing to try is go into your config sys, not config sys, the WinINI and the systemINI, and see if there's a run equals or load equals.
Yeah, WinINI, the load or run.
Right. Our next caller is Paul from Rochester. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Good afternoon. And hopefully this is one of those real short and sweet, stupid little ones I don't understand yet.
Yeah, we'll all hope that.
Nah, it's simple. I got an HP 932C color printer.
Mm-hmm.
That's to the world famous, a Pentium 3 laptop from the company I shouldn't be talking about over the air, but that's all right.
No company mentioned.
Longer story short is I try and print out a photograph in 8.5x11 format. It goes about two-thirds of the way and stops.
Oh, yeah, that's actually fairly normal.
Yeah, I caught that part, but I figure someone had the fairly abnormal way to fix it.
Well, there isn't really an... the problem is that... how much memory do you have in your computer?
It's funny you should ask that question.
Why?
Only because I was sitting right in front of that a second ago.
Yeah.
Okay. 128 meg.
One of the tricks is that the printers are getting so cheap these days because there's no RAM in them, there's no processor in them, your computer has to do everything itself.
Right.
Right.
And what's happening is that the amount of memory set aside for the printer is not adequate to correctly image the full picture.
10 pounds in a 5-pound bag?
Exactly.
Got it.
Adding...
By the way, I got 261 KB of RAM.
That can't be right.
That's what it says.
I hope that's computer.
It says x86 family, whatever the heck, da-da-da-da-da. And it says I got 261 KB of RAM.
261,000?
1,000, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that works for me.
It's 250,000,
guys. I figured we were there.
You may, depending on which driver you have from HP, you may be able to look through the driver settings and give more memory to the printer. The problem with that, of course, is going to be that takes memory away from your other programs.
They used to have spooling programs.
Right.
I don't know. You might be able to still look up on the web if you go to, like, Google or Dogpile, and what you're looking for is a spooling program. Because these printers don't have the memory and you're trying to shove so much to them, look for a spooling program. What a spooling program will do is... It's a TSR, and it sets a little memory aside, and it will send that whole print to this temporary memory area so that you can continually shove it into there and then feed it to the printer.
In addition, check to see that your printer indeed is spooling rather than printing right to the printer. Because often when you let it spool to the hard drive, it will use memory more efficiently because it's sticking stuff on the hard drive anyway. But that means you're now going to take up an infinitely larger amount of hard drive space.
Okay, well, but I guess what I'm looking for is the quick and dirty, how do I go change the spooling rate? Because basically, if I'm printing out a color picture, that's all I want
to
do.
Go into the properties and check that it is doing spooling.
Right-click, go into the control panel, open up printers, right-click on it, look through the properties, and you'll find it in there.
Let us know how
you
got to
run. We'll be back in a little while after the news and stuff. We are Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral Business Education government and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
If I won millions of dollars playing Mega Millions, I'd take a trip to Port St. Lucie and visit my Aunt Viv.
You are not a Mega Man! A Mega Man would buy Port St. Lucie and make your Aunt Viv queen of Port St. Lucie. In fact, you wouldn't call it Port St. Lucie at all. You'd call it Aunt Viv Town, and all those who live there would worship Aunt Viv because you pay them to.
If I win Mega Millions, I would drive past my ex-boyfriend's house and just smile.
You are not a Mega Woman. A Mega Woman would buy the house next door to his and buy the company he works for and the gym he goes to, so he would always be reminded how stupid he was for dumping a Mega Woman. Be a Mega Man. Be a Mega Woman. Play Mega Millions from the New York Lottery. With a jackpot so big, you're just gonna have to dream bigger.
Catch the official Mega Millions drawings every Tuesday and Friday night live at 11 p.m. on WOKR News Source 13. Watch the winning numbers as they come up. With jackpots so big, you're just going to have to dream bigger.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Across town or around the world, we've got you covered. News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester.
CBS News, I'm Kathy McCormick.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And Rob Linton is on the buttons, and we're taking your calls at the numbers you just heard. We'll be back to the phones in just a minute, but before we do, we've got a couple of things to take care of here. As you may know, on our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, which you can get to through wham1180.com. We have a poll every week. Last week's poll, 188 of you voted. We want to thank you very much for that. The poll was about temperatures because it was so hot last week. And the choices were my computer is nicely cool, is a good temperature, gets way too hot, or temperature. And 188 of you voted. It's a good temperature had exactly 50% of the votes, 94 of them. 27% of you thought your machine was nicely cool. 16% of you have never thought of temperature before. But 7% of you know it gets way too hot. This week's poll is a little different. It's about the Microsoft Palladium Initiative, talking about Microsoft wanting to control, keep track of all of your personal
data.
That was a little Freudian slurp. Keep track of all of your personal, private, and financial data. So far, we've got about 53 votes. registered so far. And of those 53, only three of you said, yes, you would trust Microsoft with your private, personal, and financial data. In addition, by the way, this time we have something very new. After you have taken the poll, stop over at my website, asknick.com, and you can register a little bit more of your opinion rather than just yes or no. You can leave a short blurb about it. Let's try not to put any profanity out there. Remember, we're all adults here, and so far, seven of you have left an opinion. A couple of them are pretty funny, actually, which was what I was really hoping for here, that they would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I put mine in there.
And for those of you who have managed to scroll down on the webpage, you've noticed that we also have a guest book. Our latest guy is Mo Howard, which I thought he had died a number of years ago, along with the other Three Stooges. But at any rate, Mo out in California.
See, he didn't die,
Mo
just
was.
Got transported.
Right, exactly. He says he can hear us in California, which is a heck of a skip. And, of course, there's the Soundbite store. So feel free to explore the Soundbites website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Please join the poll. Please leave your information at the opinion site on asknick.com.
And buy lots of stuff at the store.
And definitely join the forums. When you do, let us know what city you're coming from. And we'd love to have you join us there and ask questions and answer questions and join the discussions going on constantly in our forums. We're back to the phones now, and our first caller is Judy from Spencerport. Welcome, Judy. What's your question?
Thank you. I really have a problem, a computer that's going in circles. It's an older HP Vectra running Windows 95. And every time the login screen, it's on a network, a Windows 2000 network, every time you log on to the network, it reboots. If you cancel out and just log on to the machine locally, everything seems to work fine. And it's just not a problem when I've tried doing a search on for some site that may have had a similar problem. It's just not something I've been able to find that someone else has had.
Have you tried removing the drivers and the network card and then reinstalling the card and the drivers?
Okay.
What it sounds like is that the driver, the network drivers, and it's either the network drivers or the card network card drivers,
I was just
have
saying,
gotten corrupted.
In the what you might want to try to do is if you go into the start run, go into the control panel, and there's an icon there of networking.
Right.
Remember, sort of write down what's in there, and then you want to remove all those items.
In fact, check the TCP properties to see if you have a static address, because you'll need to put that address back in again.
And the various protocols.
Well, we've usually set it up so that it's, it finds its address automatically.
DHCP. So write all those down, try removing them, shut the machine down, reboot, and let it refine those.
Now, the only changes that I've made on it, it was having problems with our network antivirus, which is inoculated, which I think was a video card. I think there was some remnants of another, an older antivirus program, which I found and removed. And the other thing that I did was update Internet Explorer. It's running 5.5. But this sounds like neither of these would be a factor if indeed it's the network.
Well, either
network
could
card.
Be a factor if in fact one of them changed to DLL. So that's why I say replacing the removing and then restoring the network stuff might fix the problem.
Yeah,
I'd start there
because you're running into the issue that Microsoft dropped total support or anything to do with Windows 95 quite a while ago. So, you're more or less on your own as far as getting any support. And when you do any of these updates, they won't even guarantee that it will work with Windows 95 any longer.
Mm. Right. So give that a try anyway. Start there and let us know what happens.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Judy. Our next caller is Patrick from Batavia. Welcome, Patrick.
Hi, Nick.
What's your question?
Well, my question is regard to, let me first of all give you a little bit of background. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I have a computer hooked up with a Linksys firewall and zone alarm. And I'm trying to use NetMeeting program 3.0 or 3.01.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to have some problems either hosting a meeting or accepting any calls.
Right.
And I'm thinking that the one or both of these firewalls is blocking, and if so...
Well, you don't need Zone Alarm if you've got the Linksys router. That's got its own built-in firewall.
Well, I'm a double safety guy.
Sure. Yeah, that can also be...
Have you tried removing Zone Alarm and seeing if NetMeeting works?
No, I mean, you're saying disable it temporarily.
Right. Yeah.
The one thing Zone Alarm does add is it blocks outgoing traffic. So if you get infected or have a Trojan horse that opens an outgoing connection, your Linksys firewall won't stop that.
Right. But the problem is that NetMeeting requires not just one, but a range of addresses to be opened.
Uh-huh.
And so if you have not opened those on your Linksys router, I don't remember what they are off the top of my head, but there is a frequently asked questions list both on the Linksys site and on Microsoft's site and that talk about this.
Okay.
And you have to open a whole range of them, and it's a huge range. NetMeeting is a sloppily written program, and
interestingly, I could go out. You know, when I had a situation where I was in two places, not me personally, but
right.
I had my daughter. Yeah, that's for another X-Files, I guess, right?
Yeah, right.
But I came to work, and my daughter was at home, and she could initiate a call to here, but I couldn't go the other direction.
Right, because it's the coming back part that requires a number of different ports opened.
Okay, so I should best bet is to go to the...
Try the Linksys website. That's where I found the answer I needed.
Yep.
Linksys. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
The news you need, the information that's critical. Hear it first, fast and factual. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi, I'm Jeff Least, president of MicroWorks Computers, where our motto is old-fashioned service for a high-tech world. Old-fashioned in the way we greet you and how a live person answers your call. Old-fashioned by having long-term, knowledgeable employees who won't talk over your head. Old-fashioned by realizing that we need to exceed your expectations every time you do business with us. Judging from our repeat and referral customers during our 8 years in business, I think we've been successful in meeting those goals and growing into a multi-million dollar company. MicroWorks offers a large selection of in-stock parts, including Rochester's largest supply of cables and hard-to-find parts. We custom-build systems, servers, and bare bones for business and home. We offer repairs including notebook repairs, virus removal, and data recovery. And we have outside technicians for network administration and other repairs. So give us a call at 271-0050 or stop by our store, conveniently located just off 490 at 793 South Goodman Street, or visit our website at microworks.com.
The great news from Doyle Chevrolet is there couldn't be a better time to shop for a car or truck, new or used, than right now. Take rates and rebates, for example. There's 1.9% financing for 36 months on every new car or truck. That's every car or truck. Talk about rebates. Chevy Venture has a $3,500 one. There's up to $1,750 cash back on the popular Trailblazer. How about a $3,000 rebate and a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty on the new Cavalier? There are lease loyalty offers up to $750, and you can take advantage of the GM Pull-Ahead program. If your GMAC lease expires between August 1st and February 28th, 2003, they'll waive your payments if you buy or lease a new Chevy before July 31st. If you're into used cars and trucks, they're offering 4.9% financing for 48 months on GM certified vehicles. That kind of low financing makes the monthly payment really affordable. Cars, trucks, new, used, rates, rebates. I told you, right now's the best time to shop. Doyle Chevrolet, Ridge Road, Webster, where price and service are why we sell.
This message brought to you by Fort Dodge Animal Health.
Attention horse owners. The United States Department of Agriculture and the Office of the State Veterinarian have approved a vaccine to aid in the prevention of the deadly West Nile virus. West Nile virus is spread to the horse population by mosquitoes, leaving virtually every horse at risk of infection. West Nile virus causes swelling of the brain and spinal cord, resulting in convulsions and coma. Hundreds of horse deaths have already occurred throughout the country. Call your veterinarian today to schedule your horse's vaccination against West Nile virus.
Dog owners, do you sometimes forget the monthly heartworm pill?
Lots of us do. That's why there's ProHeart 6 from your veterinarian. Just one dose protects against deadly heartworm disease for 6 months. That's peace of mind you can only get with ProHeart 6. ProHeart 6 should be used with caution in sick, debilitated, or underweight dogs. Side effects may include swelling or itching at the injection site. Ask your veterinarian about ProHeart 6. 6 months of heartworm protection in one dose from Fort Dodge Animal Health.
Hey everybody, this is health and fitness reporter Liz Bonus. And if you need to watch what you put in your mouth and get in shape for spring, pick up a copy of our Lighten Up with Liz newsletter. Those are free, brought to you by Robert Wesleyan College and Pinnacle Printing.
The Lighten Up with Liz newsletter, available at Thelma's Mastectomy Boutique, Park Avenue, the Craft Antique Co-op, Westridge Road in Greece, Fonte Surgical Supply on Portland Avenue, Dr. Louis Catapano at Brighton Campus Chiropractors on West Henrietta Road, Palmer's Fresh Seafood, Jefferson Road, Rochester Clinical Research, Unity Health Systems, Women's Health Services at Wellstream, and the Vitamin and Card Outlet, Baytown Plaza, Webster.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Greenshield Computer Services. 50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Rob Linton is on the buttons, and we have the magnificently named Nick from Rochester on the line. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm looking for some advice about PDAs.
Ah.
I've been to the computer store several times, and so I've looked at a Palm, and I've looked at a Jurnada, and I've looked at a Compaq. But I really don't have any way to compare them. Could you give me just some general advice about that, or say which one is the best, hottest unit?
It depends on what you want to do.
Yeah, what are you
going
to do with it?
See,
yeah,
if all you need is essentially some form of secretary, I think of mine as my electronic mother rather than my electronic secretary. But if that's all you need, I have a handspring which is Palm based. If all you need is the calendar and the notepad and the address book and stuff like that, certainly the Palm based platforms are much less expensive in general. If what you really need is the ability to run Windows programs in the palm of your hand, or Windows-like programs, to be able to view spreadsheets and view documents and...
Yeah, I'd like to have pictures.
Things like that. Well, pictures you can do with many of the new ones. That's, you know, but that's... And the other thing is most of the Microsoft Windows Pocket PC-based systems nowadays are in fact a tad more expensive.
And I just read someone wrote a VNC client for Palm.
Yes.
So now you can log into your computers.
Yes.
With a Palm.
Yeah.
The other big difference is that most of the PDAs are now merging into the cell phone arena, and a lot of cell phones are adding PDA functionality. So Handspring has their Trio moving from PDA into cell phone, and Ericsson has a new their James Bond cell phone that has a PDA built into it. So you can get one single device that manages your contacts and appointments and calendars, plus is a phone also.
And if the PDA messes up on you, you're without your cell phone for a while.
That's the problem with any of the multifunction devices. If one piece breaks, you lose the whole thing.
Right, but basically you get, it depends on how much functionality you want to pay for. The Pocket PC devices are higher end, but you get more functionality in terms of interaction with Windows-based programs. So if that's important to you, then maybe you want to spend the money for that. But if what you're really looking for is a replacement for your Filofax, then any of the Palm-based devices are more than adequate. Okie doke?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. These are my favorite kind of calls, of course, because we just get to give our opinions.
Yeah.
We can't really be wrong, ever. Then again, perhaps we can't also be right. Our next caller is David from Rochester. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey. How are you?
Well, one word. Virus.
Yeah.
I guess you could say negligent on the user end of things.
Yeah.
I didn't update my antivirus program correctly. I have Klez.
Yep.
What do I do?
What you can do is if you go to the Symantecs website,
mm-hmm.
they had a Klez cleaner.
Okay, is that like the PC-cillin
No, what it is, if you go to Norton.com.
Okay.
And
wait, David.
Yeah.
You're doing this on somebody else's machine.
Right.
No, this one you can do on your own.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. If you go up there and go up to the website, since mm-hmm. you're already contaminated anyways, and go to the Norton website, and there's a utility. It's called the Klez Cleaner.
It's okay. Yeah, at semantic.com.
Yeah, or Norton. And you can get this utility. You pull it down. What I would do is then, save it into a folder,
mm-hmm.
reboot in safe mode.
There's some pretty long instructions on how to do this. You have to follow them step by step.
And my IT department gave me all that information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like on the low end of the user end, so I don't understand all the instructions.
Well, yeah, if you can download the file, and if you have problems finding it, let me know or email me and I can email it to you. I've got it back at the shop. But what you basically want to do then is reboot in safe mode, and it's called KLEZ. It's a small program. It'll fit on a floppy. You just double-click on that. It will go through and clean out the Klez on your whole machine. Now, what's going to happen is if you have Norton on there...
Yes, I do.
Most likely, it messed that up, too.
Yep.
So what you're going to have to do is uninstall your Norton and then reinstall and do all the updates.
Okay.
Before doing any more emails and surfing of the web.
Right. I've disabled the email account where that came in through. So.
Yep.
So, okay.
Do that and you're good to go.
Okay, great.
Before we get back to the phones, we need to mention that for a couple of callers ago that was looking for the net meeting ports, I found a link and put it on our frequently asked questions link list on the Soundbites website.
Excellent.
Practicallynetworked.com is a great site for all kinds of networking information. And I found a whole list of all of the ports that you need to open for each of these internet conferencing programs. And NetMeeting has a whole bunch you have to open to allow outgoing calls. But one of the problems is that NetMeeting dynamically opens a port for incoming calls. So there you have to basically open everything if you want to accept incoming calls.
Right. That's what, well, I won't go there now.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to the phones now, and our next caller is Nick from Penfield. How are you, Nick?
Very good, thank you, gentlemen. How
good.
Are you?
Good so far, anyway. What's up?
Well, I think I called about 2 weeks ago with the same problem, and I'm calling back to get a better idea of what I can do. I have a Windows 98 machine and an XP machine. XP machine will not go onto the internet until and unless the Windows 98 machine is turned on. No matter what I've tried, it looks as if though when I click on Explorer on the XP, the hard disk on the 98 machine starts flickering, and if it flickers enough, I get access to the internet.
How are you connecting to the internet?
I have broadband with a Linksys router, and up until probably about a month ago, it didn't matter which of the three machines I had hooked up there. As soon as I clicked it on, I would get access to the internet.
Did you ever use the 98 machine as a router for the personal web internet connection sharing?
Not that I know of, no.
Did you at any point in the recent past turn off your entire system and then turn it all back on again?
Yes.
What may have happened is that the 98 box got the address of the router. That's really unusual.
Yeah, really.
But it is possible. I have seen it happen. What you need to do is usually the router is
192.168.1.1.
Yes.
Make sure that it still has that address.
Okay.
Now go into the XP box and make sure that its gateway is set up to be 192.168.1.1.
Okay, that I have done.
And it is.
And it is.
What is the address on the Windows box?
192.168.1.01. Does that make sense? Yeah, 192.
Yeah. It's 1.101.
Right.
They should all be in the 192.168.1.something. So what we're interested in is the something.
100 on up. And each machine, you know, the only way I can get this XP machine to go and go through the whole system even is to give it a...
Now,
absolute address, like .108.
Right.
and then it checks with the 98 box, and then it goes on.
All right, then what you also want to do is, again, as we said much earlier in the program, check to see if the Windows 98 box is set up to be the master browser for the domain.
Okay.
If it is, turn that off. Well, how set it to be automatic as opposed to be the master browser.
Where do I check for that? I didn't hear the earlier part of the show, unfortunately.
Ah, what you need to do is you need to go into the control panel.
Okay.
And into networking.
Easy enough.
And what you'll find is there are several choices, actually, in one of the screens. And the one you want is automatic. That way, whichever machine goes on first.
You have to select file and print sharing.
Yeah. Right, excuse me. Under file and print share.
Then hit properties.
Right.
One thing you might want to try is shut everything off, the computers, the routers, the cable modem, the whole shot. Turn the cable modem on, wait a minute or two until it's ready. Turn the router on, wait a minute or two until it's ready. Turn one of the computers on, the XP machine, since that's the troublemaking one. And make sure that your Ethernet cables are going into the right port. So the router goes into the WAN port on the Linksys. And
right.
Your computers are going into the LAN ports on the Linksys.
Yep.
And that should let the computer turn on and work. Then turn the other computer on and see if it can work.
Well,
sometimes
we
find just by shutting everything off and then letting it reestablish the network, that fixes
right.
These weird little problems.
Well, I will give it a shot and see how it works.
Okay. Let us know.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's longest-running computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Save the date. Wednesday, July 10th, it's the Wham! 80th Birthday Bash at the High Falls Festival site. Celebrating the birthdays of Rochester's premier radio station and the home of the Red Wings, Frontier Field. Featuring performances by Shamalama, the Chauvinistics, and Nick and the Nice Guys. Plus a fabulous laser light show and fireworks display. Keep listening for details. And save the date. Wednesday, July 10th, Wham!'s 80th Birthday Bash at the High Falls Festival site.
Office Max. Max means more. During the Office Max 14th Anniversary Savings Event, find the office essentials you need to get more work done faster. This week, buy an HP PhotoSmart 612 digital camera for $249.99. Get a $30 Office Max gift card by mail. Or save $40 after mail-in rebate on a Sendyne 32X CDRW drive. Pay just $39.99. Save more, do more. Office Max. Max means more. See store for details.
I got one.
It's huge.
Hold on, man. Reel it in. Don't jerk it.
The line's gonna snap.
I can see it.
What kind of fish is it?
That's no fish.
The big taste of jumbo shrimp is back at Red Lobster. Whoa. Mix and match any two mouthwatering flavors. Crunch fried, crispy coconut, or savory scampi. 12 jumbo shrimp for just $12.99.
Quick, put on your...
Safety strap.
Jumbo shrimp are here for a limited time. Red Lobster, go overboard.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Rob Linton is on the buttons, and Chris from Seneca Falls is on the line. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
I have a quick question about what would cause a 3D video driver to fail.
A what video driver?
A 3D video driver. I'm trying to... my computer seems to be working fine, but anytime I try and use a game that requires a 3D video driver, I'm getting an initialization error.
What version of Windows are you running?
XP, and I just installed it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And what version of DirectX are you running?
8.1.
And what video card are you running?
It's a... I'm look it up here.
And the other key thing is did you get the XP drivers for that video card?
Right. Did you load the drivers from the CD that came with it, or did you go and get them off the Internet?
I loaded what was on a disk. That didn't do it.
No. Yeah, that's not going to do it.
You're not XP certified.
I did go to the Internet after that.
Okay. And have you looked at the specs for that for that card and seen that it is both XP and DirectX 8.1 compatible?
No, not for the card, I haven't.
See, that's where you need to be. Not everybody needs to know this. Not every video card is compatible with XP, and certainly not every video card is compatible with DirectX 8.1. Until and unless the manufacturer of that web card puts out XP and DirectX 8 compatible drivers, you will have problems.
Yep.
Okay.
I hate to say it, but it happens.
And it's just not just video. I mean, scanners and everything else. Microsoft has to give the company its blessing to make sure that it's XP certified. And that's literally hundreds of companies and hundreds of drivers. So, you know, when XP first came out, it was a real long wait. But they're getting better at it, and it just takes time.
Would you recommend buying a new one?
Not until I've done the updates.
And,
you know, an hour's worth of update may save you quite a bit of money in terms of a new card.
I went on Compaq's website, and they had it was like a patch for the video card. I downloaded that, and that didn't seem to do it.
If you can find out the manufacturer of that video card, go to their website.
It's Viatech is the manufacturer.
There you go. Go to them.
Okay.
All right. You also might want to check out Tom's Hardware Guide, because they have a big section on video cards and gaming as to which cards works best for which kinds of games.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chris. Our next caller is Roger from Rochester. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Great. How are you?
Not bad. My wife was on a computer a couple of days ago. I just got home from work, and she told me that
blaming your wife for what happened to the computer?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, then we'll blame you. It's not her fault.
All right. I've got a HP XP computer. I got a couple of firewalls on already. She downloaded a McAfee firewall from her email.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the computer keeps shutting off and on when I try to log on to it. I don't know how I can get into it or what.
Okay, how many firewall programs are you actually running?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm running two. I'm running Augedium and Zone Alarm.
You could be running four.
More than one is both unnecessary and potentially dangerous.
Because XP has a firewall in it.
Right. So what you need to do is start the machine in safe mode.
Okay.
Once you're in safe mode, you should be able to go in and remove the various firewalls. Make sure that Microsoft's firewall is turned up, off. That's in their networking control panel.
Okay.
Remove all but one of them and pick one.
Yeah.
Zone Alarm is wonderful.
Okay.
So if that's the one you want, God bless you. But the point is, pick one.
All right.
And then reboot in regular mode and see what happens.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
And let's see where it goes.
I appreciate your help, guys.
Thank you so much.
Peace to you.
Thanks, and to you too. Our next caller is Joe from Avon. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much. I have a P3 PC with it's. I don't know what's going to matter as far as your questions, but...
Well, luckily we're live, so tell us what the problem is. We'll ask the question.
Okay, but it locks up. Now, I bought this uptown here at a major unnamed computer store.
Good. Okay. Yeah, unnamed is good.
Yeah, right. And the warranty ran out, and throughout that whole time, they could not correct the problem.
Yeah.
And what it does is it just freezes up, particularly when I try to play with my flight sims. The board is SE440BX2 from Intel, P3, 550. They changed everything one at a time.
Different components like the video card and all that other stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Memory and the chip.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hard drive.
Yep.
And they could not fix it. So I thought, well,
what
maybe
version of Windows are you running?
Maybe it's a conflict of something. It's Windows 98.
Second edition?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? You've got enough horsepower there. You know, P3 and all that, and the graphics. You might want to consider either since, like you said, it's out of warranty and they're not going to do much more with it. How much memory do you have in it?
It's 512.
I would definitely go up to either Windows 2000 or Windows XP Home Edition. You've got all that memory in there, and Windows 98 won't take advantage of it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're all dressed up and no place to go.
In fact, that might be part of the problem.
Exactly. It may be having a memory conflict.
Whereas if you go to, like, say, a Windows XP Home Edition, you know, that's going to have the better support for all the memory that you have in there. It's going to, you know, take advantage of it. It's going to run smoother. Lockups and everything else are less frequent. Before doing this, though, what you would want to do is go up to your internet service provider and go to the various websites for, like, your sound card, your video card, and that, and see if they have the XP drivers. Download them, put them in a separate folder. So now once you do your XP update, you can then update your drivers for the video card, the sound card, the modem, the network card, and everything else. Network cards aren't usually an issue. It's more sound, video, and that type of stuff.
One thing to try first is do you know if your 512 memory is a single 512 or is it two 256s, or do you know how it's laid out?
I do know how it's laid out. It's a 256 and two 128s.
Take out all but a single 128 and try it for a while. See what happens.
You may have fewer problems with that because it may be that Windows 98 doesn't work well with a great deal of memory.
Yeah, we've been there with that with that configuration. Mm. The only other
thing, try the other 128 because maybe one of them's bad.
Yeah, they tried, and in fact, they tried different.
Is it a repeatable crash or is it random?
It's random as far as, especially if I put on autopilot and we're flying along, all of a sudden it just totally stops.
The one thing, if you don't do anything video related, what happens?
It just nothing moves.
Say you like word processing in there. Do you have any problems with word processing? Or surfing the internet?
From time to time, but it's more prevalent with more load on the graphics, such as games.
In all the things they've changed, have they ever changed the power supply?
Yes.
The other thing is what resolution are you running on your screen?
Various. Right now it's like, is it 1028?
1024 by 768?
Yeah.
How many colors?
I think it's 16 at present.
Not 16,000. 16,
oh, I'm sorry.
Period.
I think it's 16, isn't it? 16 or 32?
32-bit
and 16-bit.
Yeah, 16-bit is 65,000 colors. 32-bit is 16 million colors. Mm-hmm. Try going back to 256 colors, period. 256. And cut back on your color depth and see if that helps on your video programs.
I'll make note of that. It does come up with an error message. Mm-hmm. 210 stuck key.
But I, and 210 stuck key?
Yes.
Have you ever changed out the keyboard?
Yes.
And the mouse?
Yes.
You've changed out the motherboard?
Yeah, the whole motherboard.
Yes.
Yeah, they said they've done everything, gone through the whole gamut.
And the CPU.
Yes.
Do you have this machine in an apartment or a home?
In our house.
How's the power in your house?
Excellent. Because it did it uptown, too.
It did it in their shop.
It does it for them. It does it here.
Try lowering it to 256 colors. But the other thing, like I say, is the one thing you might want to look into is maybe going up to Windows XP.
You also might want to talk to your lawyer about the Lemon Law.
Yeah, right.
I'm not joking.
Oh.
Yeah. If this machine has given you problems from day one and you can document that, it might be time to trade it in for a new machine, whether it's under warranty or not. But talk to your lawyer about that if that becomes a real problem.
Or just tell them you're going to talk to your lawyer about it.
Right.
Yeah,
but if it's been a problem from day one and you can document that, that may be where you need to go.
Well, either that or I'll go up. I heard an ad on your, they come highly recommended, the recent ad you just had on the radio.
Yeah, Jeff from MicroWorks.
Yes, they do.
Maybe I'll go there instead.
Or
there's a possibility.
Or come on down
to my
shop and do it that way.
Where?
Or come down to my shop. NRIPC Management, we're down on Brighton Henry at Townline Road.
Excellent.
And not to really drag on the superstores, but they're superstores. They don't really have the technical expertise that someone like Dave and I or Jeff would have that sit in front of the machines all day long.
Right? Yeah, and we've got to be customer-focused.
And Nick has a real job, so he doesn't do it on the side.
I'm not here to take anybody's...
Well, the thing is we, you know, Jeff, me, and Steve, you know, you got to worry about, because bad word spreads faster than good word. It's just a fact of life.
But, Five times, as they say.
You know, so, you know, that's why we're more focused on, you know, making sure that our clients are happy with their work. If not, we'll do what it takes to make them.
Right. That's why we always recommend go to the smaller stores and keep your money local. We're going to take a break. Speaking of keeping your money local, we're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the universe's longest-running computer call-in show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The Wham 30-Minute Ticker, heard 14 times every market day. Brought to you by ESL Federal Credit Union. ESL, it's banking, only better. Want a better job? Easy. Just open up the classified section or go online. Look at all those jobs. Hundreds of jobs. You don't like the jobs you qualify for? And you don't qualify for the jobs you like? Well, then maybe you need to stop dreaming and start doing something about it. Come to Element K Business School, and we'll get you ready for some of the most in-demand jobs there are. IT systems administrator, computer programmer, web designer, office manager, executive secretary, bookkeeper, customer service representative. We'll help with one-on-one mentoring and even job placement assistance when you're finished with your education. And if money's a problem, Element K can also help with the financing. Call Element K Business School for more information. Call 240-7400 today or visit elementkcenter.com for the full story. Element K Business School. Real education, real opportunities.
Got a big job to do? Things to haul? People to carry? Trailers to tow? Looking for the perfect vehicle to do it all?
Help is on the way. Jim Barnard Chevrolet.
Well, you'll find it at Jim Barnard Chevrolet in Churchville, the versatile Chevy Silverado. We have our largest inventory ever, including Motor Trend's Truck of the Year, the new Silverado HD, along with crew cabs, four-door extended cabs, two-wheel drives, 4x4s, you name it. And if you want to save on Silverados,
help is on the way. Jim Barnard Chevrolet.
In June, you'll get a $2,000 rebate plus $500 bonus cash. That's $2,500, and we'll even throw in a GM bedliner at no extra charge. Buy a new Vortec V8 powered Silverado extended cab from just $19,598 or finance at 1.9%.
Help is on the way. Jim Barnard Chevrolet.
We've been here for 30 years, and we'll be there. Jim Barnard Chevrolet, Buffalo Road, Churchville.
We're here with Gladys Smith, professional bargain hunter. Gladys, why are your eyes closed so tightly?
I'm sure you know that the amazing Ames two-day sale is this Friday and Saturday, and that the store will be stocked to the rafters with bargain after bargain.
Well, I...
So my eyes are closed because I'm visualizing the sale. I'm seeing the bargains in my mind. I'm mentally plotting my course. This will make the bargain gathering process that much more rewarding.
So what exactly are you saying?
Get 30% off all men's, ladies, and children's summer sportswear, 70 plus 10% off all fine jewelry, 40% off all beach towels, 50% off already reduced Red Ticket clothing clearance.
Wow, that's amazing, Gladys. Can the average bargain hunter succeed by your method of visualizing the sale?
There's nothing average about the Ames bargain hunter. We're all special. The amazing Ames two-day sale is this Friday and Saturday only. Ames bargains by the bagful. Stores open at 9 a.m. Exclude special buys and everyday low price items. Percentage discount off regular price.
Candlesticks.
They are.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
What's next?
How about this one?
What beautiful wrapping.
Wow.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, it's so big and heavy.
Open it, sweetheart.
I wonder what it is.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's the TV we registered for.
Could be.
Oh, what is it?
Looks like it's an old air conditioner.
An old air conditioner?
And it's a little dirty.
Oh, it's filthy.
Well, maybe it's an antique. Honey, it's an antique.
Your old air conditioner is worth more than you think. Give yourself the gift of a cool summer with the Keep Cool Bounty Program. Right now, get $75 after you turn in your old working air conditioner and purchase a new Energy Star model. For more information, visit GetEnergySmart.org or call 1-877-NY-SMART.
I can't believe this. It must be from your side of the family.
With Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yes, indeed. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Rob Hawaii Linton is on the buttons.
Aloha.
Aloha. Oi. And we are taking your calls. Our next caller, Barbara from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Barbara. What's your question?
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Barbara.
We have met.
Excellent.
We have a meeting.
We don't hold that against you.
No. I told you a few years ago when I met you on Tricky Hill Road at a party. I said, if I ever call in, I'll say, hi, I'm Barbara from Mark's Party.
Yes, yes.
You remember?
Yes, yes, I do.
Well, I've got a problem.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for calling, though.
Nice talking to you.
You're the man.
Yeah, and you're the woman. I don't know what that means, but go ahead.
I don't know
now.
Either. This has gone too far.
What's your question,
Barbara? Wait a minute. I got to cool off here. Get the fan!
Everybody remain calm. Barbara's got a problem, and we're going to help her.
Gentlemen. Hey, Nick, I've got McAfee Virus Online.
Yes.
I've been real happy with it, but in March or April, I think on their window where the scan button is, they changed the design of the scan button. It used to be on the left side across from where it said date last scanned. And all of a sudden it disappeared. So through all of this, I discovered that they moved it down. And the only way I could see it in order to scan, do a full scan on McAfee, was to take all my settings and make them small because I had my type setting up at large icons and large print. The scan button is there, and I can do that, but I really don't like my icons and all my type to be so small. So
sure.
I'm wondering, is there a way to enlarge the windows of the McAfee or enlarge windows in any way? I can't figure that out.
How big is your screen? Are you running a 640 by 480?
How big is my screen? Oh, boy. 17-inch screen.
Yeah, but are you running a 1024 by 768? Or
the resolution.
The way you tell is right-click on the desktop itself, not on any program, select Properties, and then go to the last tab, which I think is Display.
Settings,
thank you.
And
that'll tell you. When you see this screen, can you move the whole window up, or is it filling your screen?
I can't move the window up. I can't. All I want to do is enlarge this window. I want to pull it down so it looks like it's about 4 inches by 5 inches right now, and I'd like it 5 by 5 or 7 by 5 so I can see that scan button. It's
right.
Out of view, completely out of view.
You can make a window with no size controller on it.
Right, and which is what they've done because mm-hmm. they don't need it for that.
What you might be able to do is when you scroll down to see that button, right-click on it and say Add to Favorites. So now that scan button would be in your Favorites menu.
Oh.
That might work. Depends on how, if they change the URL on it, or if it just...
Add to Favorites.
Yeah.
But then I could set my icons to large icons, and that's not going to affect it?
Well, the theory is what Steve is saying is when you click on that button, it actually takes you to another web page.
Okay.
And does the scanning. And he's saying if you add that other page...
As a favorite,
then you just click on that, and it goes right to that and does the scanning from there.
So
and he's saying by right-clicking on the button and saying Add to Favorites.
Okay.
Right, so you don't actually ever have to see the button again. You can choose that from your favorites menu.
Oh, okay. I'll try that.
Give it a try. Let us know.
I will.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too.
Yeah, you can't easily customize your toolbar in the Windows version, can you?
No, you really can't, not easily. Our next caller is Donald from Perry. Welcome, Donald. What's your question?
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing?
Great. Good.
I have one solution for that 98 memory problem.
Oh, good.
Because I had the same problem when I was running 98 with 1 gig of memory.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to SMC and click on memory, do not use memory over 512. And also there was an issue in Microsoft... question database on the memory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly which one it was. I can email you that when I find it.
Please do.
There was an issue to tell you what to do going into the registry and everything to fix that problem.
Right, but the bottom line here is that Windows 98 simply does not work well with a lot more memory than 256 meg.
Correct.
And it's a problem that people have had for a while. You know, you want to load up the machine because you've got cool things, programs to take advantage of it. But the operating system was blocking you. Now, at least with XP, you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Thank you, Donald.
One comment.
Oh, yes, please.
Next time you're all by yourself.
Yeah.
Just give me a call and I can come up and stand in for somebody.
Perfect. I will do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Donald. I appreciate it. Our next caller is John from Clifton Springs. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Quick question. I got three computers hooked up to the router, and I just recently purchased Norton's 2002, and I had 2000. And I noticed when I run the one-button checkup and defrag and everything, it really eventually screws up the computers. Has that been a problem with the Norton's 2002?
The other one thing, though, is before you did the install the 2002, did you uninstall the 2001 or 2000?
Yes, I did.
With the live updates?
Yes, I uninstalled everything from the computers. And the other question I had is I have one that's running 98 second edition, and just recently it wasn't even seeing the hard drive. It would turn on to the point where it gets to look for the hard drive for the C drive and doesn't see it. And then I used the I thought maybe it was a virus in there because it's a kid's computer, and I put the CD in to run the virus scan on it. It wasn't even seeing the C drive. And I noticed, of course, now with Norton's 2002 with the go back, you can't restore the computer unless you can get into the computer
right
to undo the go back.
The other thing is now you said this was the kid's computer?
Yeah.
Were they updating the virus dat files frequently?
Yeah, they were updating it. Now, I just recently just got into it and uninstalled the go back from all the computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in the midst of putting everything back in all the computers because I restored other computers. But I noticed when I defrag and I run a one-scan checkup, I have more problems than not running it. And they say, oh, well, you should run a defrag because it speeds up the computer. And I found out that it messes it up even more.
How much free space do you have on your computer?
Well, I'm running 256.
No, on your hard drive. I'm sorry.
Quite a bit. The one kid has got a 20-gig hard drive. And it's pretty well freed up. And I got 220s, and I got my computer is a 40 gig.
Mm-hmm. You might want to make a clean bootable disk and write protect it off your machine, boot up their machine, and put the Norton in there and try to do a scan because it sounds like there's a virus still in there.
Okay, but now what about defragging and all that? I find when files get moved around,
Use the Windows.
Well, in particular, if you've got a virus, then the virus is going to prevent a lot of those files from moving because it's locked them.
And modern hard drives are fast enough that defragging almost doesn't help any.
Yeah, it doesn't do so much good. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and Rob Linton for their able assistance today, and I want to make sure that everybody gets to soundbites.org, votes in the polls, joins the forums, leave your opinion on AskNick.com. For more of the same, come and join us Friday night at 7 o'clock on our news. And next Saturday, we will be right here on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Talent on loan from God.
Gotta say God.
Talent on loan from God.
You gotta really say God.
Talent on loan from God.
The most listened to radio talk show in America, Rush Limbaugh with Talent on Loan from God.
Rush 2 till 5 on Wham.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104. Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800. 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Correll Business Education government and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
You are in or approaching a leadership position with your company. You're committed to advancing your career and you're considering a graduate degree to provide the competitive edge you need in today's workplace. But traditional programs don't seem to address the new challenges and competitive realities you're confronting on a daily basis. RIT offers two programs that could be the answer: the Master of Science in Product Development and the Master of Science in Manufacturing Management and Leadership. Blend technical and business components to produce graduates with a systems perspective and the integrated skills that are so vital to success in new product development and manufacturing. You can complete either of these fully accredited programs in 2 years part-time. To learn more about RIT's distinctive programs in product development and manufacturing, or to investigate other advanced degrees in industrial and systems engineering offered by RIT's Kate Gleason College of Engineering, visit online at rit.edu or call 475-7971, 475-7971. Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
If it's happening in our town, you'll hear about it now. News Radio 1180 WHAM, Rochester.
I'm Amy McCormick.
President.